We begin with the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Nisim, please. So there's a machlokas. So on this point, there seems to be no dispute. The Gemara will have one question, but if you have the way Rashi explains, is that the way Greeks sign is they sign Yosef ben Shimon. It means really Shimon ben Yosef. It means Yosef, whose son is Shimon. It means I don't know how do you even say it. In other words, the son of Yosef, who Shimon is the one signed on this. So Yosef ben Shimon is really Shimon. So that means if you sign Yosef ben Shimon. So it turns out that Shimon is under the left get, not under the right get. That's how Rashi understands. The reality, that is an upshot in the Mishnah, it doesn't change, it's not the reality in the Metzias. The Metzias is almost certainly, he signed like any Greek would sign, so-and-so, which is it goes in the opposite direction, because Greek is written left to right, as opposed to Hebrew, which is written right to left. So a Greek signature that would, you know, that would start on the left side, and it would be, you know, would be Colonimus, the son of Aristobulus, right? So Colonimus would be signed on the left side. Yosef and Shimon would be signed. Yosef would be signed on the right side. So there are still a number of Greek names that survive in the Mishnah. Probably the most prominent one, although it's not the, it's two people had the same father's name as Hyrcanus, Dosa ben Hyrcanus and Reblasa ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. I don't know if any, were there any. There are others, but I think those are the two most prominent ones. So it amounts to the same thing, at least at this point, as Rashi, is that it appears that the two, if you were to read on its own, just the two Hebrew witnesses, they would be on the right get. Assuming, of course, I mean, the complicated, well, and the Greek names would be on the left get. Now, so I won't say, I'll hold off on that for the moment. One could have, of course, is the Gemara will ask the question, well, why are both getting cleared? The two Hebrew Edom are signed on one get, and the two Greek Edom are signed on another get. So the Gemara will deal with that. Here's an important, albeit a strange question. What script are the Greek witnesses writing in? One second. Fine, you have a marker. Right. So be creative here. Is that a good example? Yes. What is that?
Greek.
Can you read that? It's not Greek. It's Hebrew letters. It's actually English. It's Jonathan. Look.
Yeah,
I wasn't fair. Would you have figured it out then?
No.
Go on. Okay. Right? Maybe if you're going to sign in English, okay, let's do the following. Okay. Jonathan went to the store.
Didn't we have a
No. No, because it's a vowel. There's no corresponding vowel letter. But that's what it means. It doesn't make any sense when you're moving from the problem of taking a language that writes the vowels as letters, which English does, to which Hebrew fundamentally doesn't. I mean, it does. It starts to add vowel markers. So that's what it would mean writing English in Savashuri. That's what you would be doing. It's a lot of fun. You could do a lot of fun stuff with this. Torture people. Thank you. But my question is, this seems very strange, but if you're going to write again in another language, or an aide's going to sign another language, does it mean you can write it in the script of that language? Or does it have to be in Savashuri, except that it can be a different language? Now, this is really a question in what? What question am I asking? Because the Chuvas Ramban deals with this. That's really his topic. I don't know if we'll just finish the Chuvas Ramban. What's the fundamental question here? Did you see the Chuvas HaMashma? Right? Yeah, what's the definition of Tziva? What's the definition of Tziva? I don't know if there's anybody who says, like, Kisei HaKodesh can be written according to the Chacham in any language, except for Tefillin and Mezuzah, and maybe Megillas Esther. And Rabbi Shimon Leil says, no, only Greek. But the question is, when you're writing in other languages, what script do you have to use? Can you use the other language script, or do you have to write it in Hebrew? Now, if you do, you're going to have a lot of fun with that. I'm just wondering what somebody who walks into afterwards is going to think about that. You know, what? Yiddish. I don't think it looks like Yiddish. I should have used a tough instead of a test, but okay, that would have been better. I should have been consistent, but. You could actually do a lot of fun stuff with that. So that's the question. What is the definition of ksiva? All right. Now, here is another question also that I'm just going to throw out there. And I think you've seen this. Once you're talking about ksiva, I wanted to give you this as an exercise. The fun exercise would make you to rewrite the ksuba in Aramaic fully. But I was going to ask you to write. I have to say I have one quibble with the Chachmei Provence about their suggestion for the get, which is they only did half the job. They said that you shouldn't write Harat Mutaris Lachadam. Perhaps what should you say? I don't have it in front of me. Yeah, you can't say Harat Mutaris Lachol Gavar. That's Hebrew stuff. You have to say Ha'at Sharia L'chol Gavar. If you're going to do the job, at least finish it. I don't think there's any other Hebrew in the get, is there? Some people want to update the ksuba into modern, to Hebrew or some other language. I want to turn the ksuba into all Aramaic, at least. What is the age of? I'm going to go to the Rosh's Nusach. Is there anything in here we would have to rewrite? B'kach b'kach b'shabbos b'kach l'yarach ploni. You probably would have. You could have yarach ploni. Shnas kach b'kach lebrias olam leminyan shemanu kbo. That's not Aramaic. That's Hebrew. Kan b'masa ploni diasvan har ploni and aponda b'masa ploni diasvan har ploni roshem achva chlicha b'isli with asri tzavisi berus nafshi. The Galatanisna Ushak Tastox, the Sigan entity, Plons was Plons, the Masaplons, the Sanaploni, the Hoshamachanik, the Islihi, Lasrihi, Davis, entity, Mikapsnak, the Shavaki, Subtaris, the Trochis, the Sifilihi, the Tavian Rashan, Shaltav, and Ashaikh, the Mahmasas, all that it's fine, Isla, Yimhebi, Daisi, Minshmei, Minyoma, Minshmi, Minyoma, the Nan Olam, all right, Mikas Kodam, yeah, that's. You're doing Kedas Moshe Yisrael. Kedas is, what language is Kedas? Hebrew or Aramaic? Good. It's Persian. It's a loan word. That's right. It probably appears only in like Esther, maybe Esther Nehemiah. What? No, it doesn't. Come on. The ksiv is Ashtos. He thinks it means to fly. Okay. The kasha that everybody asks is, how could the word dos be there because it's a late word? The answer is that's not pshat by any token. It might be Chazal's midrashic reading. It is their midrashic reading. Eish das lamo, that a fire of Torah was given to them, but that's not pshat. And if it's not pshat, it's not a kasha against us. You know, not a kasha from the Emunah Sadeus perspective. So the word is written ashdos. Chazal read eish das, right? That's how we read eish das lamo. And Steiner thinks that the word das actually is that odd form of the feminine. I think it's like the karas, and it's dalet ayin yud, the fly. Like Asher Yid Eh Hanashe, so Eish Das Lamo, fire flew to them, or something like that. So, and I don't, you know, it's very, he has a Targum also that he wants to link that to. This is expansive Targum, which doesn't tell anything about Pshat, but this Targum in Aser Sadibros, when each of the Dibros would happen, it would be in fire and it would run around the camp, flying around the camp, or something, Tayasum Farach, or something is the word. So he wants to try to tie that to that part. That's the interpretation of Eish Das Lamo, which is actually quite sharp. I don't know if it's right, but it's quite sharp. Satisfied now? I can match your fear any time. All right. Fine. So the question is, are Hebrew and Aramaic the same language? It's the Ramah who says it, but I would China that, based upon the Ramban, on Parshas Kisisa, where he talks about the Shekel HaKodesh, that why is it called the Shekel HaKodesh? It's not a holy shekel. It's the shekel of the holy, that the holy use, that the Kodesh use. So he says, Lashon HaKodesh also. It's not that the language is holy, it's the language in which God spoke to his prophets, in which Kesei HaKodesh are written. And if that's the case, I would argue that that biblical Aramaic is Lashon HaKodesh. It is, by the Ramban's definition, it's Lashon HaKodesh. So you could argue that based upon that Hebrew and Aramaic count as one tongue for these purposes. Anyway, so the Mishnah continues, Nisim. Okay, so now the Mishnah says that if the Edom alternate, they're both Gittin or Psulim. Now, Rashi here goes out on a limb for the reason of something that he has in the Gemara, a Gersa that he has in the Gemara. It's a very difficult interpretation. All the interpretations are difficult. If you read the Rashba, he says that even the other interpretation is Dochak. But Rashi's is particularly Dochak because you would expect that these four witnesses, this Ivri Yavani, should look like what? What should it parallel?
The first case,
Ivri Yavani. So if the first case is Ivri Yavani, that's what it should look like as well. It should look like each of the Edom writes their name on one line. Rashi is bothered by something in the Gemara where the Girsa that Rashi has that we have is the Gemara challenges and says, why are both getting psulim? Both should be cherim. In other words, one should be miskasher be'ed echad ivri ve'ed echad yivani, and the other should be miskasher be'ed echad ivri ve'ed echad yivani. So the question is, if the only difference between the first case and the second case is the order, is it ABCD or ACBD, then if you're going to be machshir, both gittin, it's going to be still A and C, the Ivrim will be machshir, the right get, and B and D, the Ede Yavanim, will be machshir, the left get. That's what compelled Rashi to do what he did. So what Rashi has really done, and you read this Rashi, and when you read in the Mishnah, it's just like bizarre and confusing. Why is Rashi doing this and not stating the obvious? The reason why Rashi is doing this is because he wants to have the first two Edim, if read normally without Gundalus, he wants the first two Edim to be on the right get and the second two Edim to be on the left get. Now, the Eid Ivri who starts out, who goes from right to left, so that's on the right get. The Rashi says, how about the Eid Yavani? How's that going to be on the right get? The answer is because he signed the first name on the left side. In other words, if the Greek guy signs his name Yosef ben Shimon, and his real name is Shimon, he signs Yosef ben here and Shimon here. So Shimon is on the right get. And now Rashi has the Eid Ivri, the second Eid Ivri, do the same thing, meaning the second Eid Ivri starts on the left side, and his name is Reuven ben Yaakov, so he writes Reuven ben here, and then He writes Yaakov on the next line, and since his name is Reuben, he's really signed on the left get. And then the last Eidivani signs normally on one line, so he too is signed on the left get. Hence, the Eid Echad Ivri signed normally, and the Eid Echad Yevani signed the wrong way are on the first get, and then the Eid Ivri Sheni signed the wrong way, and the Eid Yevani signed the normal way are both on the left get. And just a tip to any of you making public presentations, did you notice, like, Jack, this is totally unrelated to the Gemara, but it's a life lesson here presented. Did you notice which way I've been pointing? That's the left and that's the right. I was taught by Professor Brent Baer, who teaches the Smicha students in my private lessons, that when you do that to the audience, that's to the left and that's to the right. Because otherwise you will confuse them, because you will say right and left. And even though they don't realize it, it's discombobulated. So anyway, if you ever meet him, tell him, Kim Nachas, he'll be proud. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. Most Rishonim, the reason that, I think even the other Rishonim who disagree with Rashi, except for the Rambam, I don't know if all of them grasp the basic point here, which is that, of course, the Greek goes from left to right, because that's how you write Greek. In other words, it's Reuben ben Shimon, and then it's Shimon ben Yosef. That's what you would expect. And of course, not because the Greek, you know, one of the Rishonim says that the Greeks, out of respect for the fathers, they would put the father's name first. No. It's not that they're putting the father's name. I don't know how Greeks wrote their names anyway in the first place, but this Greek is a Greek Jew, or a Jewish Greek, I don't know which of those. He's Jewish, and he writes in Greek. How's that? And he's the Yevani here, so he writes the way a Greek person who would write Reuven ben Shimon would write Reuven ben Shimon. That's what a Greek person does, because that's the way Greek is written. So you have to explain what is the Gemara actually thinking? In the Maskana Sagamara. But the pshat is, and again, it doesn't matter whether you say like the Rambam explicitly does in the Perashat Mishnayos that the Greek is written from left to right, or you hold like the other Rishonim who say that Greeks write their father's name first, which effectively means then a Greek signature is left to right. It amounts to the same thing. You have to explain the Gemara differently. Yes, John.
How do you explain it other than Rashi?
Because the Gemara, the Girsa in the Gemara is only the Skasher, the first get with an Eid Echad Ivri and Eid Echad Yevani. Not both get.
Not the second get.
Not the second get, yeah. Rashi's Girsa has that each get should be good. Yes, if I. And that's explicit. This is the famous Rashi explains that. And the way the other Rishonim, there is another way around that I think, I'm not really sure I understood it, but the way, let's say, Tosis gets around is saying, no, wrong Girsa. It's only, the Gemara was only asking on the first get. Yes, if I.
In the first get, the difference between writing direction and direction of syntax doesn't really make much of a difference. But in Rashi's second solution, it doesn't work with the writing direction of the verse. You can't fix the gaps in that place, right?
Probably not, right? The first case of the Mishnah is simple. The first case of the Mishnah is that whoever, the first two Edom who signed the normal way, right? If the first two Edom were Ivrim, so he signed Reuven ben Shimon, as you would expect, and the other guy, Yosef ben Levi, is going to be the exact same thing. There's no reason to think he did Gundalus. Or both signed in Greek, then that means they were both signing on Lefket. It's only when you start to get the mixing, you know, that maybe I'm following the order of the guy above me. The answer, I would guess, is probably it's not correct. You can ask the very same. I'll give you an example where it's a case that Rashi doesn't know Greek, and his interpretation of the Gemara reflects that. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Tesamid Beis, where it talks about the Targum HaShivim and the changes that the translators made for Ptolemy. So the Mishnah, the Gemara just lists a series of changes that they made, and one of the changes, many of which are not in our Septuagint, but that's beside the point. One of the changes that they made is they translated Elokim Bara Bracious. So why did they do that? So Rashi says, because they didn't want somebody to be confused and think that something created God. That's certainly not correct. the likely interpretation of this, you can't say with certitude, is that it was just out of respect for God. They wanted his name to go first. That was suggested, I think, by Emmanuel Tove, who's probably not alive anymore. I don't know if unless he's really old, but he was a well-known scholar, Septuagint and Dead Sea Scrolls at Hebrew University. Why is Rashi's interpretation not possible? Well, because in English, that does seem to be plausible. Jonathan hit Ephraim. Now, if you write Ephraim hit Jonathan, now, if that might sound like Jonathan hit Ephraim, but if really Ephraim hit Jonathan, you have to reverse the words. It's not true in Greek. The reason why it's not true in Greek is, let me say the following. If you want to say, if you're sensitive to grammar, he hit Shimon. Now, if you say Shimon hit he, are those two sentences to be interpreted differently? No. No. It does, actually. But why can there be no confusion about the second sentence? He is nominative. It would have to be him. If you said him hit Shimmy, well, either you don't know the English language, which is a distinct possibility. There are people who are not quite expert in nuances of the English language. Or, alternatively, you understand that him has to be the direct object. So many languages, not English or Hebrew, have endings. They're called case endings on nouns. German has stole a lot of this, and Greek and Latin have them. Greek has often as many as 5 case endings for different cases. For nominative, which means it's the subject; accusative means it's the direct object; genitive means it's the possessive; a dative means it's the object of it's an indirect object, object of a preposition, and something called the vocative. Shimmy, right? If Shimmy. And Shimmy did the following. It was Shimmy's. I took it from Shimmy, and I hit Shimmy. Those 5 Shimmies, theoretically, some of the endings will overlap, but in the right, I don't know if it's in masculine, feminine, might be, those would be 5 different words. They would all start the same way. They'd have a different ending. But I say that because Bereishis bara Elokim, Eis HaShamayim Ves Aretz. So aside from that Bereishis would have a prepositional phrase, you can't say God created the heavens and the earth, and the heavens and the earth created God, in Greek would be totally unconfusable. The word order doesn't matter at all. Because if God were the subject, he would be theos, which is what it is. Hotheos is the opening word to it, God, and then the verb, and then created heavens and earth is tein gein kai tu uranos. Uranus is the earth. There's probably some Greek god with that name. Gain is the.
Uranus is the god of the sky.
Oh, so I got it backwards. Okay, so it was. Two Uranus Kaitain Gain. Now those Uranon probably actually is the way it is. But Theos would have been Theon if God were the object of a verb. So it's impossible that the explanation of the Gemara, Bereishis bara Elokim, is a reflection of confusing who created what. But it's, again, I don't know for sure. I think Tov's suggestion is it's likely, you know, respect for the Ribono Shelo, respect for God, that you put God's name first. You may even have a hint of that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is at the end of Yodayim, the Sadducee and Pharisaic dispute over a particular issue. You know, some polemical comments of one another, the idea of where you put God's name. You should know this, because it's getting. You know, Kovlu Manu Aleichem Stukim, Sha'atam Kosim Es HaMoshel Beget. You write the Moshe's name in a get with God's name. And not only that, but you put Moshe's name for something. No, I'm sorry. That was their complaint, that we put the Das Moshe Yisrael, and the Purushim shoot back. You write in the Torah, was it Moshe's name and God's name? And you put Moshe's name first on the page, somewhere in the Sefer Torah. Now, but you see that there's an inyan, this idea, in people's heads of putting God's name first. Right? People do that today in an odd way. What do people do? Right in the corner, I don't do it, but right in the corner of the top of the page, you've seen people do that, right? Beis Samach Dalet?
Yeah.
Right? Nisim is familiar? I don't know how common it is, but that's basically, an acknowledgement of God before you start writing anything. Right? That's the first thing that appears on the page, the top right. So anyway, so the answer of Chaim is, I suspect that they knew enough about Greek in rabbinic literature, they're not going to make that kind of a mistake. That much I think they knew. Yoni?
Just the modern ear, when you have these formally structured sentences, if you use a Yoda voice, then it becomes very clear.
Ah!
If you use a Yoda voice?
Yoda
voice. When you watch Star Wars.
I think I got the reference, but I'm not a Bucky enough. What's a Yoda voice?
The way he speaks, he structures his sentences.
Confused you are.
I see. Okay.
So,
there you go.
What
Yoda has now made it into Shir, not just Princess Bride. All right. If he were British, he'd say Hitty. Okay. Fine. So the answer to your question is, I suspect that's not what's going on here. It's not that I think it is impossible or inconceivable that would happen as a matter of principle, but I suspect it's not true here. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Nisim. So, what's the question of the Gemara? Yeah. Then each what? What's really odd about the premise of the Gemara's question is something very odd that we shouldn't pick up on it. Ephraim? Yeah. In other words, it's not that it's inconceivable that such a thing could be happening, but why would you be looking to say, oh, maybe it's really two signatures, signed from two get? If anything, you need to know that the get was signed. And instead you're saying, oh, well, maybe it's not just on the right, maybe it's also on the left. That's a very strange halachah. Tosos on the top of Pezayin Amidbeis says, the Dilma Bishma Dabur Hasam, he says in that one, he says something earlier also. He says, the Yeshlan Litlos Lahasri Kevin Shechasim Aviv Tachas Gerasheni. So Tosos says something very, what is Tosos saying here? If you were given a get to sign, there were two get written side by side, and you were asked to sign, how would you sign?
Are you trying to sign on both?
No.
Only on one, then you'd make sure to sign on
both. You would think you'd make sure to see, you realize that two get written on top, and you're always signing on one. So you would think to, you know, squeeze your name in. I discovered that. Congregation Rina Yisrael Rabbi's Discretionary Fund is a very long thing, and I have to learn to microprint when I write out a check to it. So here, you'd expect them to microprint to get Ruvei Min Shimon 8 only on one side. I don't know. Hopefully you daven in shuls where it's shorter, but Rabbi's Discretionary Fund is a very, very long, but I don't think that RDF is a recognized expression. So that's what Tosis is saying, is that you don't... If you're signing only on one get, you would make sure to put your signature, you would think, only under that get. That's what Tosis is saying. But appreciate, whether you like Tosis's answer or not, the Gemara's question and the premise of the Gemara's question is a striking premise. Normally, we do the opposite. We adopt the position of tafasta merubalo tafasta, tafasta mo tafasta. Here, the Gemara is going down a pit. You familiar with the expression? It means if they offer you, take a finger, not a hand, because a hand might be too much. And when it's used to learn limudim, it means that if you grab too much, you might wind up with nothing. You might have gone too far. If you grab a little, then you're safe. So when you learn something, when you have a limud to teach you something, you first learn the minimalist chiddush rather than the maximalist chiddush, because you don't know if the maximalist, if you have a riboy, you know the minimalist chiddush at least is true. That's the general. It's an exegetical conceptual principle. It's a conceptual principle of exegesis, which is you're making derivations. You assume the minimal position that you can assume. So normally that's the mode the Gemara works with. Here it's taking almost a being tofes hamaruba. So that's what Tosis and other Rishonim note this particular issue. Okay, go ahead. So the Gemara's answer was. Okay, So it didn't say, in other words, if it said Reuven and Ben Yaakov, so Reuven signed on both. Reuven on this one, Ben Yaakov on the next one. And Reuven is Ben Yaakov. Now, why can't you sign Ben Yaakov? The answer is because that is Yoshua's name. It's part of your name. I am the son of Yaakov. So the Gemara's answer is that Reuven Ben was on one side and Yaakov was on the other. Now, how do you have to sign? What are your options in signing a get? Shimi, what's your Hebrew name? Okay. Oh, you got a Reuven and a Shimon. That's pretty good. Shimon Avram Ben Rafael Reuven?
Shimon Rafael.
Ben Avram Reuven. Okay, I'll forget when I ask you again. Okay, Shimon Rafael?
Yeah.
Ben Avram Reuven.
Yeah.
Okay. Very confusing. Oh, I know much worse than you. Don't worry, I promise.
Yeah, my cousin has two middle names. And I think so does his father, and he's a Kohen.
I have a friend who's got five names. His parents were hippies. He was once, I forgot, I think on Purim morning, he was davening in our house, and I made sure to give him an aliyah, because I know when he goes to shul, no gabbai ever gives him an aliyah. His father's got two names. His parents were like shtickle hippies, and they're from, I think, you know, kind of, but I think they're Karbalkians, and they gave him literally five names, some of them which are rather odd. So, therefore, but I decided, like, nobody ever gives an aliyah, so I gave him an aliyah. So, the Mishnah tells us how many different ways. How many ways, how would you sign, Shimon?
I'm not doing it how you say
it. You don't need to write. Shimon or Fael Ben
Avram,
that's one possibility. How else could you sign, according to the Mishnah?
Shimon or Fael
A. Okay, or? Correct. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say you could sign Shimon Raphael. So the question is, or Shimon Raphael Ben. So the question is, how does that work? So Tosfos, there are different interpretations. Tosfos just suggests that everybody would understand that even if you wrote Reuven on one thing and Ben Shimon on the second and aid, that the aid would be distributed across both of them. So it's not that we're assuming that you don't need to write aid when you write your name. If you sign straight up on a get, if you sign Nisim, I forget what your, what, Nisim Dov, you'd have to write aid. But if you wrote Nisim Dov Ben, Shlomo Yitzchak, aid across two getten, the aid would distribute on both. Okay. So, the Gemara suggests it doesn't work here. So now the Gemara asks, Veliskasher. Yeah, maybe there was another aid. Now the Gemara's question is odd, which you only realize when the Gemara gives the answer, because you're probably scratching your head. Why would we machshir with the second get with a guy named Yaakov when you know that it's Shimon's father, and how do we know, or whatever, Reuven's father, and how do we know that it's Reuven, how do we know that Yaakov is Reuven's father? What? Because the handwriting is the same across the two, which is what the Gemara's answer is, right? Minas tam, you would assume that this is one aid, this is another aid. So the answer is you wouldn't assume that way. The answer of the Gemara is you wouldn't assume that way because it's clear that it's Reuven's signature. Then the Gemara will ask, well, maybe he was signing one with his name and one with his father's name, because we always do that, right? Not. Okay. Now, a question for you here. Where's the? Why don't we have the guy who says "Bafanai nechtam"? Explain to us who signed that. If he saw it signed, he would know what the Edom were signing on. Shani. So that's what the Rishonim say. Tosfos says the bottom Tosfos says it could be maybe get Eretz Yisrael. But if you were bombing Medina Sayam and you have to say Bafanaifahanechtam, the basin say, okay, well, you saw it signed. What happened in the signing? Who signed it? How many people signed it? Okay. The Gemara continues. Okay, she didn't write aid, we buy Sayma. Oh. So Rashi, by the way, writes on the first teretz is that, and it's not clear how you see this in the Mishnah, that if you write Nisan Dov, you don't need to write Eid. But if you write Ben Shlomo Yitzchak, you need to write Eid. That's the first answer to the Gemara. The second answer is, no, you wrote Eid. But we know that it's not, we know that it's not Shlomo Yitzchak because it's Nisim Dov's handwriting. So we know it's not his father. So now the question is, go ahead, on the top of his item of days. Maybe you decide using your father's name. Because the purpose of, what's the purpose of a signature? Simi? You're testifying to it, but why do we have you write your name? The answer is because we can track you down. So if we see it's your father's name, you might sign your father's name, we'll track things down, we'll find your father's not alive, but then we'll go to you and say, yeah, I signed my father's name sometimes. Okay. So now the Gemara answers. Right. A person doesn't, you know, put their name aside and sign using their father's name. What does this mean? I don't really know what this means, but this is right for Drush. I mean, sons usually want to get out of the shadow of their father. Okay. So, but read the next part. Now the Gemara says, Vidilma. No, he made his father's name into a simon. He's not signing in his father's name. And they give examples. The ha. What is a cabra? A fish. How do you know? Very good answer, Nisim. How does a chavusa, how do you know? You just know.
I'm supposed to say partner. No, I
don't know. Does the word Doug appear in Chumash? No. Right, firstly, it would be Nune, but it does, it does. What did you say? What was right? What did you say? What pasuk?
Huh?
What pasuk?
It
does appear once. I don't know if it appears more than once. As a verb, it's for Yidgu Larov, but that there is Dege Hayam. Where's Dege Hayam? I have to think for a second. What? Is it there? I don't think. Is it? Nope, it's not there. Nope, I don't think so. It also appears that son about Kari Shachet Lahem Watsalahem, and it's called the Gay Hayami Yasef Lahem Watsalahem. Right, okay. So it does. The word does appear. Okay. Vahadagash Shabar Yomesa. Now it's all coming back to me. Okay, we have examples. Fine. But it's Nune, that's correct. It's not Kavra in standard literary, which is a dialect of Uklis. Rashi doesn't say here. Rashi says in one of the other places. If you just, otherwise, you look up in the dictionary, you have a vocabulary. What's that? Kavra has a fish. Is a fish. So Rav, I hate that you know that the Christians now, I don't know why, they have the, you know, the fish symbol you sometimes see in the back of cars. I don't know what the kesher is.
I'm pretty sure it's a symbol of early Christianity where it was used to get around Roman censors. Christianity was completely outlawed and they wouldn't recognize it as a symbol of Christianity, so they used it for secret communications, what I hear.
Sounds very fishy to me. All right, so let's move on. Are you seeing such a thing? With the fish symbol and gefilte? That's funny. Okay. Rav Chanina, a day palm branch. Okay, Makusa is a sail. Why did he have a sale? I don't know. I would jokingly say because Jews always buy things on sale. It's a targum, by the way. You know that's a targum. It's an anti-Semitic targum. Targum Yonasan on Pinchas, the story at the end of the Parshas Balak, where Bilam gives the advice. He tells them to have the ugly women outside selling stuff, but when the old women outside selling stuff, and when the Jewish men come, they should tell, by the way, inside they're selling them cheaper. And that's where the pretty girls were. So it was a sale. That was a Greek word, less than their price. So it's an ancient tradition. Bilam knew that Jews like to buy things on sale. He was an anti-Semite. So anyway,
I don't remember what, but also it was an explicit question of the team, but they have to speak.
Like the?
Of being
cheap. Of being?
Of being cheap.
Yeah. Okay. I know there's the tradition Yaakov is chosam pachim titanim, but that's a maila. Tzadikim are chosam, you know, amam kol shekein shel acherim. Okay.
I think
Bilam got
anti-Semitism and worked it a little bit.
What's that?
I think Bilam got anti-Semitism and worked it a little bit, shooting himself in the foot.
Yeah, okay. So Rechista took the Sama from his name, or Shai took the Ayin from his name, and a sale here is an S-A-I-L. It's a Vilon Shel Sina. I don't know what the significance is, Rabbi Puna. Obviously, Rechista took a Samach because it's in his name, and Samach happens to be a very rare consonant. And Rav Shai took an Ayin, that's not as rare a consonant. Okay. So the Gemara says, the answer is, nobody would have that chutzpah to make his father's name a simon. Okay, you know the Gemara says, you know why Or HaAdam is mitame, even if you ma'abed it, you tan it. Gemara Chulin, I think a Perek of Arutif says, because we're afraid a person will decide to make his father and mother into shatichim, throws. I know it's really bizarre. I don't know if like the Greeks did such a thing. It's like, so yeah, but he wouldn't have the chutzpah to make his father into a simon. Yes.
Why don't you resort to that? I mean, it seems like these are all pictures, photographs.
So
why do we require? So it just seems like you wouldn't take a word.
But they took a samach or an ayin.
Okay, but those are only single words.
That's quicker. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That whole name?
All right.
Let's see, everyone's fine.
Okay, so you have a better answer. The Gemara could have said that too. They could have said, fine. All right, next. Go ahead. Yeah, if you have two Hebrew signatures, obviously the first get is good. And then let the other get be good. Whichever the two Greek signatures are signed, let that be good. Now, the only problem, let's assume the two Hebrew signatories sign first. And then the two Greek signatories sign. So the problem is, if you look in your ksuba nisim, you will see that between the end of the ksuba and where the first eight signs, there's not even a line. The halacha is you're not allowed to have two lines or more. So Gemara Baba Basra. You can't be machik es haksav min haksav more than two shitim. So here, you know it's more than two shitim because there is end of ksav, two lines of witnesses, the other two lines of witnesses. So what's the story? So the Gemara says, "V'chitema." If you just fill in with krovim, not I am a psulim, krovim, who are just technically not kosher because they're korov, so it means you fill in the gap. They don't count as edim, but they're good gap filler. So here in this case, if you have two Edim Ivrim and two Edim Yehonim, even though the two Edim Ivrim are a hesed between the left get and the two Edim Yehonim, it doesn't matter because the line is filled. Right? The concern about blank lines generally is that people, it's like writing a blank check. Somebody could fill in something at the end. Okay? So the Gemara says, that can't be the issue. So there is a sheet that says both Akasha, not like our Mishnah. Well, it teaches our Mishnah with the Nusach that both of them are shared. Gemara answers, Achad who de chasini. Right? The concern is maybe it was gundalus. What's gundalus? Well, Ephraim in his book had a certain kind of gundalus, but that's not what this is. Gundalus means they signed backwards. Ephraim's was they signed in inverted. Here it just means the following. Normally when you sign as a Greek, Yosef ben Shimon, it means the one whose father is Yosef, otherwise known as Shimon. But because the Greek guy is signing below a Hebrew guy, he might decide to sign Yosef ben Shimon when his name is really Yosef. It means he might decide, look, it's a Hebrew aid, so I better sign the same way he did, which is Plony ben Plony. So that's why it might be that the second aid, the first aid is definitely signed on the right get, but the second aid, it's a suffix which get he signed on, right?
Should you be able to tell if the case ending?
What's that?
Should you be able to tell if the case ending?
That's a good he'ara. Because Yosef ben Shimon, Yosef would be genitive, it would be possessive. It's son of Yosef. Yeah, which would really prove Rambam's point. I think. It would make it impossible, wouldn't it? Everybody would be wrong. Whew, that's a good question. Because Yosef, son of Shimon, Shimon is going to be the genitive case. And I'm pretty sure proper names, proper name nouns in Greek also have the same issue. So that's a question. Now, here, I would still be inclined to think the Rambam is correct, and I am wondering whether or not at some point the case endings start to merge. You have to first make sure that the genitive case ending is not the same as the nominative in this particular improper nouns, because otherwise that would answer your question. That's a good question. I know that there are features of classic Greek that I think Koine Greek, as it's known, Koine Greek is the, I think the Septuagint's Koine Greek, it's like common Greek. And the Christian Bible, something was written, we don't actually know, right? We don't have it.
We don't have the original text of the Christian Bible?
Let me correct myself. I think it is, what was I saying? That's incoherent. The Christian, we have copies of the Christian Bible in Greek from that period. There's a question of whether it was written, what language the Christian Bible was originally written in. For the claim, most I think will claim it was Aramaic. But bottom line is the Greek of the Christian Bible is Koine Greek. It's like common Greek. So it's more simplified than classic Greek, you know, Aristotle and Plato. So I don't know if that's the answer possibly as well, although that could go back to the question with Rashi, but I don't know, because the Septuagint definitely has case endings on that pasuk that I know, we know. All right. So I don't know. Fair question. I have to ask Professor Bernstein that question, actually, since for those of you who don't realize, his PhD is in classics, not in Jewish studies. All right. I think he's too close to retirement for that to matter. All right. Go ahead. So he's gundalus. So what happened is the first day signed like a good Jew should sign, a good Hebrew should sign, and the Greek guy decided, well, I'll sign the same way. I'll sign Yosef ben Shimon. My name is Yosef. Okay. So now the Gemara says, so why don't we have the first get be work with the first Hebrew signature and the first Greek signature, and as Argyrsa has it, why not have the second one work with the second Hebrew and the second Greek signature? That's why Rashi says what he says on the Mishnah, to explain the Havamin of the Gemara. The Maskan of the Gemara says, oh, there is such a cheetah. There is such a version of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, okay. So if it's a gundalus, what might happen? You have two possible things that could have happened here. Actually, three possible scenarios of this. In the Hebrew-Greek, what are the three possibilities that could have happened here?
Well,
all the, everyone signs on the Rebo sketch. Three on the right, one on the left, or three on the right, one on the right.
Three on the right. Everybody signs on the right.
Yeah.
Three on the right, one on the left.
Only one of the two groups did right to left when the other one didn't, as a normal group should.
So you can have three and one and three that you can have. You could have four and one, all, only in one direction, namely in the right, on the right.
Never sign left to right.
What's that?
Jews will never sign left to right.
No, they could. It's just that they, if they, the first one on the get never signs other than the normal for their language. You know, when the first Jew, the first Hebrew signature has to be on the right get. Now, the Greek signature, which is on the left get, could be intended for the left get. The Hebrew signature that follows could have decided to follow the Greek guy, and the last Greek guy could have decided to follow him, to follow the Greek guy also, in which case you have one right, three left. It's also possible that the Jewish guy signed on the right, and then the first Greek guy decided to follow his example, and then the Jew decided to follow that example, and the last guy decided, now I'm going to sign like a normal Greek. It's also possible that you have two and two in a number of permutations. You just never know. The only thing you know with certitude is that the first signature is always a normal signature. If the first signature is Hebrew, then you know that it's a that it's signed on the right get. If the first signature is Greek, it's signed on the left get. Because when only one person is signing, they sign the normal way. There's nothing to influence them to sign differently. Now, there is, of course, a complicating factor in this, which the Gemara doesn't bother to mention. Which is what? It's not a fair question to ask, but Brian? What? No. What happens if the first person to sign signs second because he was leaving room for a gadol mimenu in front? That doesn't solve the problem. It just means there's one more way things could go wrong. Because you don't even technically know who was the first signature. That's the Gemara in the first parak. Right? Why is an Eid Kuti Kasher only beget? Because the Edom of the get always does the kasha make it a better thing. Right, the question is the original Havayim in the Gemara is their Masher and Eid Kuti. If he signed
second. No, if he signed first, should the other Jew would have
signed. Right, so the Gemara's question was maybe if the Jew signed after him, obviously the first aid was kosher, he wouldn't have signed otherwise. So the Gemara says, who says that he signed after the first guy? Maybe he signed first, but he signed on the lower line in case there was a more mechubad aid that they found as the second and the top, and maybe he knows nothing about the signing again. To which the Gemara answers this, from this you see that Edom and Nachos ben Alaget Zeshalom Ifneza. By other stars they could, and it's possible that oh, this is a get. Okay, never mind. They all signed together, so scratch that. That was an incoherent thought. Two for the same day. Yes? The Gemara might have.
According to some, it could still be that
it. No, the point is it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Adam signed Zebah Fezah. No, yes, but the Gemara in the end never. You're right, but the Gemara doesn't sound like. I presume the following. I presume that if you sign second when everybody was together, it's because the Gadol signed first.
Well, you're right. If everyone's together, you just have. Yeah.
So, therefore, it's not like. And you never get. A person, when all the Edom are there together, the second Edom never signs first. If the second Edom signed first, he would be the first Edom. I don't know if you remember, I did it for my Eisenman did it at the wedding. I normally do this. Once I have two of them, when they're ready to sign, he did ask them if they were related to each other. Related to you, related to Rivka. And who signed first? The practice is you'll ask one of them, it's a Kohen, he'll go first. If not, I go whoever's older goes first. That's my rule. So. Okay. But still, the older person, or the more mechuber person, signs first. Because what's the point in having, you know, the second person sign? Okay. Fine. So that was the Gemara's question. The answer to the Gemara's question is, Etana Didan. Fine. All right, next Mishnah, Yoni. I want us to read the Mishnah and then we'll go back. What, describe this Mishnah, this get?
So you have essentially regular columns and you run out of space.
You have two columns and you see a get, and the get starts on the right side and it goes to the bottom, and then it starts maybe even above. If for some reason it starts in the middle of the page, goes down, and you finish it on the next column, and then you have the Edom side. So the Mishnah says that that's kasha. It means that we assume it's one get, and if the Edom side, then the get. Gemara will talk about some of the details. Go ahead. So what does chasmu Edom Berosh Adaf mean? So how do you envision this?
You have the body of the text.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the Edom sign on top. Before, if you're reading things, it will be Ploni ben Ploni 8, Ploni ben Ploni 8, and then the get comes. So they're not signed after the get. Or if you write it on the side of the get.
Or on the opposite side of the page.
Right, on the back side of the page.
On
the get pashat. On a get makusha, you're supposed to sign on the outside. The get makusha, the way it works, as best as I understand it, or at least as the Rishonim seem to describe it, is you take a piece of paper, you write the top line. You fold it over, you sew it up. Somebody signs on the kesher. You write another line below it. You fold it again. Somebody signs on you sew it off, somebody signs on the kesher, yeah?
We probably talked about this. Have we seen examples of this type of debt in other places in history? Like, do we know?
Yes. We have from Qumran. I believe we have some get mikusharim. You should also note, according to the Gemara, it's not a din that's limited to get. The Gemara says that they created this to deal with Kohanim writing their wives to get, because Kohanim were hot at it. So if you just write your wife a regular get, it doesn't take very long, and now the Kohanim are really messed up because they can't remarry their wives. But if you have to write a get makushar, so it takes time. You write one line at a time. You got to sew it up. Then they need them sign on it. You write the next line. How many lines are there in a get?
12.
It takes time. Just to write the get. I mean, you have to write every line you write in a regular get. But each time, you got to stop. You got to fold it up. You got to get someone to sign it. It's a whole project. In the meantime, the hot-headed Kohen can calm down. Okay. Fine, go ahead. Okay, so what do you do with these two get?
I think what's happening is separate sheets of paper.
Nope.
Okay, so then you have them side by side, maybe the
two. Nope. Should we?
I think you write one gap from the top going down and you flip the paper upside down and you're exactly.
Start in the middle of the page and first they write the bottom half normally, flip the page over. So the tops of each get are touching or would come up to one another. With almost a butt. And you sign in between. So which get are you signed on?
Neither.
So which get are you signed at the end of? The answer is neither. So that's why the Mishnah is going to say it's no good. Go ahead.
So first is that it's not something that you can imagine, that each and even whom you are a ship. So that if you have that ends meeting in the middle, then
the exact opposite of the previous case.
So then I guess whoever the even look like they're signed, the even has to be signed, you know, for one they're signed upside down.
Okay. What's that? Correct. Alright, so the Gemara says that it's possible. O me'achra beget pashut. And O me'achra beget pashut. Possible. You have to be careful when you put the comma there. Because you could read it, chasamay de merosha daf menasad o me'achra beget pashut. Possible. That would be wrong. It's chasamay de merosha daf. Minatzad, o meachra beget pashut, pasul, because that meachra of these three dinim they all apply to both types of get mekusher and get pashur, except for the last one, which only applies to a get pashur. Because a get mekusher, you're supposed to sign on the back side of the ktav. Okay. Continue. Okay. Okay. Now, what is that word, get? What's the word added in that sentence, get? What's the next word? Good. That's the point I want to make. It's not entirely clear in the Mishnah, but I think that there are, I think in, as for the Tosefta or something, it could be read as kasvu. Because if they wrote the get this way, Rashi on the Gemara, not on the Mishnah, on the previous part, actually when we have the word, when the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, get sheksavo ivris, Rashi says on the third line, sheksavo ksav shalo, Rashi is coming to tell you it's not kasvu. And what does that tell you, incidentally, by the way? I mean, the Rashba brings it in the Chubas HaMiuchasas. He brings this as a right. It's like the way in. What does it prove? That the script can be in the normal script of that foreign language. It doesn't have to be in Ksav Ashuri. It doesn't have to be that Jonathan went to the store. You guys have to have fun with this. This is your job. It's not want anybody to hear a tape and share, because otherwise it will ruin the spot. You should go posting signs in the big letters like this. On the bottom, you'll just write, in the spirit of Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis. You've got to figure out, you've got to post signs, you've got to have fun with that. You're all computer nerds except for you. It's easy. How are you going to do it? You write a macro word just to replace the Hebrew, the English character, and eliminate the vowels. Write a sentence. Write your announcements you want in English. Come up with fun. Now write something telling people they need to clean their food and their out of the base furniture in their mako. Write it in. Then go global. Replace every vowel out, and then what? Whatever you want, you can put in there. But you know, you put it in most. It's got to be in English. And then just write a macro to us. You know, put a string in. To, you know, or you could record from the keyboard to globally replace each of the consonants with the Hebrew thing, and leave it in the left to right, because that would be much more fun. I blew it here, and put the signs up. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding? It'll take almost no time.
For me, it's a way to map. But we'll try reading it. It'll take a lot of time.
People could use their minds messed with. It's really fine. Okay, but the bottom line is it's sheksavo, not shekasu. There is a passage somewhere, I don't know if it's in the Rambam or somewhere, it says kasvu v'chasvu, and that clearly is kasvu, but here it's sheksavo, and that's what Rashi's coming to tell you on top, ksav shalo as opposed to hein kasvu. Okay, go ahead. Eirach on every? Oh, you read that right. Eirach on every kasher, ksav sofer ve'ed is kasher. Why is ksav sofer ve'ed kasher according to this version of the Mishnah? No. No, that's the correction. What is ksav? What do you say? Ede hasima? Well, yes. The ksav sofer is one eid. The eid hasima sa'eid is a second. So you know that two eidim witness this. Why does the sofer need to sign? It's his ksav. It's like if you had ksav yad shobal. How many eidim do you need to sign? It's kosher. B'di'evet. So yeah. Could be. Why would you not accept Ksav Sofer V'ed? I'm not sure I know the answer to this question, by the way. But go ahead.
Something about messing up Shar Staros, some people will come to do it.
Well, why would it be a problem by Shar Staros other than Shibut, unless that's the concern? Where do you see somebody dress this? Because Rashi on Pevamon.
That was the Rav that discusses why some things are included in the list of print permits or not.
Oh, he says that because that makes no sense. Because it is hard to understand why Ksav Sofer Ve'ed is no good. Why would Chasam Sofer Ve'ed be no good? Correct. Even according to Rami Meir. So I understand why Chasam Sofer Ve'ed might not be any good unless you hold like Rabbi Yosei, where every Sofer knows they can't write a get if they didn't hear it from the husband. And they know that they can't sign it if the husband didn't ask them. So I get why Chasam Sofer Ve'ed needs Rabbi Yosei, but what's wrong with Chasam Sofer Ve'ed? The Sofer is one signature, and the Eid is another signature. The fact that the Sofer didn't sign, so why should that be possible according to Rabbi Yosei? I don't know. Okay, go ahead. Ishplon, last part, Ishploni. Now, that's where we have the Gersa, which means that they write Ishploni, Ben Ishploni, and you don't write eight. Is there any way to conclude? We asked the question on the Mishnah, previous Mishnah. Is there any way that this does not, that you could argue that writing Yaakov without aid is kosher? I would argue off your shot, you could. I wouldn't ask the question otherwise. You know, you could read the Mishnah. What? Say it. You like it, no? Ishploni aid kosher. Ishploni ben ishploni. Ben ishploni is kosher. Ishploni or ben ishploni the lo kosher aid is still kosher. I think that's an eminently reasonable reading for the following reason, which is that why would it make a difference? Because I wrote more information and I don't write it now, I can dispense with the aid? If the aid is that crucial, what difference is that I write ish ploni, or I write ish ploni ben ploni? Even the aid doesn't do anything about narrowing down who you are. The advantage of writing ish ploni ben ploni is that we have more information about who you are without recognizing your signature. But if you can leave out aid, why can you leave out aid by ploni ben ploni, but not by ploni or by ben ploni? Yeah?
If you read it that way, though, then you say ben ish ploni, just saying ben ish ploni alone works. Then you say ben ish ploni, if you don't write aid, that's also kosher.
No. Ish ploni aid is kosher. Ben ish ploni aid is kosher. Ish ploni or ben ish ploni, but still below kosher aid, it's still kosher.
Then you're saying ish ploni aid kosher works twice.
Ish ploni aid, comma, is kosher. The second time around, it's ish ploni velo kasav aid, and the Mishnah is telling you it's still kosher. Correct. So the reason why the Mishnah would say that is because that's how people typically sign it. People typically sign ish ploni ben ish ploni aid. The Mishnah tells you, if you just use your name, it's fine. If you just use ben your father's name, it's fine. And then if you don't use the word aid. As long as you use one of the names, it's fine. The simpler reading of the Mishnah is not necessarily that way, but it would solve a little bit of the problem of the Gemara earlier in one way, and more to the point, it would make more sense logically, even though textually it's a little bit more of a stretch, right?
The distribution of the kosher is in the Mishnah, doesn't
it? What's that?
The first step has a kosher inch. Case.
No, yeah, because you have to say velo kasav eid. So you'd have to say ish ploni velo kasav eid kasher, ben ish ploni velo kasav eid kasher. That's a little too verbose.
You live at ish ploni eid, ben ish ploni
eid kasher. Wait, you could have said what?
In the first clause, ish ploni eid, comma, ben ish ploni eid kasher, and the parallel, the second line, ish ploni, ben ish ploni.
Yes, but that would be more likely to lend itself to confusion when it's easy to fix with one word. Which, by the way, don't rule out the possibility the word wasn't there because the word's missing in the star printed text on the previous one. I'm not going for the math. The Gemara on Pei Vav Amin Aleph rejects this. Let me point that out. The Gemara said, oh, he wrote Ben Ploni, but he didn't write 8. He did write 8, but we know it's not Yaakov Sosimus. The Gemara doesn't read it that way. I'm just pointing out that there is an alternative way to read the Mishnah. Okay, and it's actually more logical. In terms of just that, it's not the better read of the Mishnah, but it's the more logical position, I think. Okay. And then finally, go ahead, Yoni. Or whoever was reading. What is a chanich? Yes. But no, it's not a kinui. It's not machaneshem. It's not his name, but it's his family name. Like Avram Ibn Ezra. His father's name is not Ezra. Ibn Ezra was the family name. The Gemara is going to have a discussion, how many generations can you go back? That just means when do people recognize it. I think that today everybody would we recognize surnames. They didn't really have surnames. I mean, Ibn Ezra sort of is a surname. And the truth is probably most surnames today, I don't know what my ancestors did. They didn't grow pot. But then again, the word means again in German. Auf Wiedersehen. So I don't know what that is. But when you meet people whose name is Goldsmith, you know what their Alter Zedek did. Although that doesn't always explain things. When you have Tenenbaum, you know what Tenenbaum is? Cedar tree. I don't know what their ancestors did. You still don't know what they did.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, except for when they're Yisraelim, which could be for one of two reasons. Either they're Chalalim, or because somebody 150 years ago was trying to avoid the draft in Russia. That was a thing. They would pretend to be Kohanim.
Kohanim didn't get drafted?
Apparently not. If you meet someone who has a classic Kohen name, but is not a Kohen, I mean, don't ask questions because if they're Halalim, it might be a little awkward. But often it will be the case that their name, that he took that name. Sometimes a husband took his wife's name if she was from the family of Kohanim. And it might have been scandalous, a husband taking his wife's name. I mean, that's even worse than a wife keeping her name. So anyway, all right. What? I have no idea.
He took his wife's name.
He took his wife's name?
For some reason, because, I don't know, something about his father-in-law. I'm not sure what the story is.
I didn't know that's such a thing. They'd have to cancel him then. All right. Anyway, so that's what the Mishnah says. So now, let's read the Tosefta, please. And what does the Tosefta say? Turn back to my Tosefta again. Tosefta is Halacha Yud, probably. Go ahead, Yoni. Get. So here's the right thing. Here it has to be Shekasvu. It can't be Shekasvu. Why? Yeah. The Chasvu HaChamisha. I mean, it's not impossible. But it seems unlikely. So it doesn't. I'm not saying that it means that they wrote it in the Ksav Ashuri. It just means l'fi pshutan shel dvarim, this can't really be Ksavo. It's more likely parallel to Chasmus Sosha Kasu. It means they wrote it. They is the kind of polite, you know.
Also, because it says Bechamisha Mishnah, they wrote it in 5 languages, as opposed to inscription was in 5 languages.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Agreed. So, according to what you just read, it's possible. As you well know, and we will pick up with that tomorrow, and once you're finished, just go on with the Gemara, because we will go. We'll spend a little bit of time on these Makars tomorrow, but we're going to move on to try to get to the, I don't know if we'll get to the Mishnah Pechas and Aleph. So, many Mishonim have a Gersa that's kosher. But according to the Rambam, if you write the Get in multiple Lashonos, no matter what is the way the Rambam sees that the get is possible. For some reason, according to the Rambam, the Edom can be signed in a different language than the get is written in. That's okay. What you can have is a get written in multiple languages, which goes back to the point I made earlier in Shir, which is how is it that you have Hebrew and Aramaic in the get? And there are a couple of possible answers for that that we will talk about, but anyway, so we will pick up with that tomorrow. Okay.